All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Before we get started, just a quick note to say that some of the names in this podcast have been changed to protect their identities, but the stories you are about to hear are very real indeed. Please check the episode show notes for trigger warnings, as listener discretion is advised. If you'd like to share your story on the Affair podcast, please email our wonderful producers on affair@curvemedia.com. Welcome to The Affair Podcast. I'm Anna Williamson. Now, if you don't know me, I'm a relationship therapist, coach, and TV personality. Now, this podcast will unveil the secrets behind modern day affairs as we explore everything from emotional affairs to rebuilding trust after betrayal. One in five people have admitted to having an affair, but it's a topic that is rarely explored and remains taboo because it sparks such powerful emotions and judgments. Each episode features a different real-life affair story told by the people involved and offers insights into the emotions, causes, and consequences of infidelity in today's world. From the motivations behind affairs to the impact on relationships, we'll uncover the raw truth behind one of the most painful aspects of human relationships. So, without further ado, let's meet today's guest. This week, I have a young lady called Florence. How are you, Florence?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very well, and well done for being brave enough to come into the gauntlet. What made you want to come on my podcast?
So I think for me, I wanted to tell the story because I didn't really think about affairs, didn't know anybody that had one. And to me, affairs were very much one-dimensional in the sense that it was a man or a woman who was having an affair, and that they weren't a very nice person for doing so. I was just kind of just thought that it was one of those things that people do. You break up and then kind of move on. But obviously my story, made me think that, well, that's definitely not how they go most of the time. So I wanted to kind of come on and tell that story and give that other perspective, really.
So on that note, Florence, typically in an affair, there are three perspectives. There's the person having the affair, there's the person who is the affair, you know, the other person, and the person who has been cheated on. So which role do you take up?
So I am the person that was cheated on.
Okay. And some would probably say, yes, the injured party. So take us back then, Florence, to the beginning. You're married?
Yes, married, yes.
Tell us about sort of before the affair, what life was like, how you met, what the relationship was like, and just, yeah, set the scene for us.
Yeah, so my husband and I met when we were 10 years old. So we were very young. We were neighbours. I met through his sister, so I was friends with his sister initially. And then as the years went by, our parents became good friends, went on holidays together. So we became friends, really, first. And then we went to school together, or at the same school. So sort of grew up together, really. And we weren't together during that time. We sort of had boyfriend and girlfriend moments when we were at school, you know, like you do. We'd be together for a couple of months, split up. And then we sort of got together for the last time when we were 19. So we've been together since we were 19, but known each other for a long time.
Wow. Wowzers. I mean, and some probably might be thinking, well, that seems an awful lot, actually, for very young. I mean, particularly in today's society. Did it feel it?
Yeah, it was. So I think that before that, the last time we were together, we were around 15. We went on holiday together with his family. And that was great. We had a very normal upbringing, both of us. both families, you know, our parents are still together. So it was all a very normal, standard, essentially boring kind of, you know, time that we grew up together. So, but he, my husband's always had mental health issues. To be honest, I don't think that I really acknowledged it because I didn't know much about mental health at the time when I was that age, because, you know, I wasn't surrounded by anybody that had that. And so I think that during that time, there were moments where he struggled, but I didn't necessarily notice that. And so when we were together at 16, he split up with me because he slept with somebody else. But that wasn't, we weren't together as in it wasn't a big deal at the time, you know. It was just kind of, we were just flitting about. And I then got with somebody who I actually, after that, got engaged to. So I was engaged to this guy at 18. He was a bit older than me. And so when we sort of lost touch for that sort of 17, 18 year olds, we were sort of lost touch for a bit. And when he found out from my mum that I was engaged, he didn't like that at all and wanted to win me back, basically. He kind of got in touch. And I think I immediately knew, I think I always knew, actually, that he was the guy for me. We were always going to be together. We always had that kind of soulmate feel about our relationship, even when we were mates. We just got on so well that, he got back in touch. And, then I split up with my partner and, we got together. We moved in together when we were sort of about 21, bought a flat together. I wanted children. I think I was at that sort of crossroads, really, where it was, do I want a career? You know, because I was in a job I'd been in for a while, but it was like, do I want a career? And I thought, oh, do you know what? I think I'd quite like children. I think naively, I thought, I'll have kids. That'll be easier. We were both fully committed. There were no... He knew I, you know, I'm not one to have any kind of relationship with any, you know, just wouldn't. My morals are that's just not how you should do things. And him the same as well. You know, we hadn't necessarily spoken about it, but we were both very committed to each other. He proposed to me on New Year's Eve at Millennium, so going into 2000. He proposed at his parents' house. We were having a party. And he got a plastic ring out of a cracker and, woke up the next morning. And I think he was obviously fairly drunk the night before and went, what's that on your finger? It was very instantaneous. I think he spoke to my dad about 5 minutes before he did it. And it kind of just, yes, immediately. But it took us 4 years to get married. So, we actually got married when I was about 4 months pregnant.
And with your, how many children do you have?
That was, so I've got three children and that was with our first.
With your first. So, what a proposal. It clearly works for you though, you know, no judgment there. I mean, people get engaged in all kinds of different situations and scenarios. But for you, you knew this was heartfelt from him. He wanted to marry you. You wanted to marry him. Wham, bam. Thank you, ma'am. Why 4 years?
I think I don't really know actually why it took so long. We were going to get married abroad, but then I felt pregnant. So we'd booked all of that and then I would have been too far gone to fly and all of that kind of stuff. So we had to bring it forward and do it in the UK. But I think we just were enjoying life and it wasn't a big deal to get married. We both wanted to get married, but it wasn't, I wasn't one of these people that's like, right, I need to do, you know, I need to have this plan. I need to get married there. You know, it's just like, we'll get married. I know it'll happen. No biggie. Yeah. But then, yeah, getting pregnant, which was a bit of a surprise, was that was kind of the catalyst of like, oh, let's get married before we have the baby. And so when we had our children, he grew up in a very traditional household. His dad went out and earned the money. His mum was at home. And I think when we had our children, he took on that kind of role. You know, he didn't he wasn't particularly helpful. And I remember one particular time, our first daughter, she was probably 2 days, 3 days old. So, you know, you're right in the thick of new child, don't know what you're doing. And she cried in the night, and he put his headphones in because he needed his sleep. So you're kind of thinking, okay, yeah, this is how, fine, okay. So there were a few things that started to happen. He didn't spend an awful lot of time with us as a family at the weekends because he would be hungover. He would spend most of his Saturday and Sunday on the sofa, you know, getting over the Friday and the Saturday. And I would just take the kids out, do things with them independently, go out with friends, you know. So he wasn't really a part of our family, you know, day to day. It's sort of, you know, going out and, you know, he'd never take the kids to school. He wouldn't take them to any clubs or anything like that. I just did it. And I didn't, to be honest, I didn't really know any different, because we were the first of our friends to have children, because we were quite young. I was 24 when I got pregnant. And, you know, none of our friends had kids. So I was kind of just thinking, oh, okay, this is how it is. You know, this is what happens, and it's fine. But yeah, I started to notice, I thought this is getting a bit annoying now.
Right. And were you comfortable with that dynamic?
I think initially I probably was. So I gave up work after our second child was born, because it was just financially better to do so because of the childcare costs. And my husband ran his own business, so he could be flexible. So yeah, I stopped working. So I was fine with it. I struggled with the financial side in terms of not earning my own money. I felt reliant upon him, which was okay because we were a unit. You know, it was okay at the time. And yes, yeah, so I think I'd say I was okay with it at that point. But then when we had our third child, I started working for him actually a little bit after our second child, but I was working for him pretty much full time in his business when we had our third child. And I really started to notice there were problems with him at that point in terms of his mental health and what, you know, he was struggling with, because he wasn't really that great in the business. He would just one day say to me, I don't want to do that meeting. I'm not going to go. And I'd be like, you have to go. It's a meeting. It's, you know, it's the business. You have to. And then I would have to go. And the type of business that he ran, I couldn't talk to these people about what, you know, what his services were. It was just, and I remember just thinking, oh my God, this is horrendous. But actually that was all part of his anxiety, that he just felt he couldn't go and do these things. And I didn't see that. Obviously, I just thought he's being, you know, annoying. He's just, you know, yeah, frustrating. And then I would pick up the pieces, essentially.
Right, right. And I can. And so how many years into marriage would you say this was?
This into marriage was probably about 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, about 5 or 6 years.
Did you feel, what was the sort of the when I say the state of your marriage, as in, you know, were you physically intimate? Were you emotionally intimate? What was communication like?
Yeah, we were physically and emotionally intimate. We always made time to go away together. So that was one of the things that we always tried to do. We had great babysitting services there. We had parents, brothers, sisters, so we did really well in that sense. And we would go for weekends away together, and they were where we came back together, you know, because life's busy, we're all busy, and we came back together, and they were really, really good. And that, you know, when you come back together and you do that, and that's where you realize that this is us, this is who we are. Our day-to-day life is, it obviously it has to be good, and it's, you know, it's what we do day to day, but this is us, is when we're together. Mm-hmm. On those weekends away or a week away or whatever, and they were great, and so I never felt like there were any issues at all in our relationship or our marriage, albeit it's difficult because you've got 3 kids, a job, you know, it's life. But I never felt for a second that there were any issues in our actual relationship.
So what started to shift? Because at some point, because you started this podcast saying that you have been the woman that has been cheated on, which must be an awful position to be in. So when did things start to change? And bring us into the period where this cataclysmic situation happened.
So I think, so for me, the affair that happened came completely out of the blue. I had absolutely no idea that this was taking place, and would never have thought for a second that he would do something like that. So it really did come out of the blue. It was in 2018. So I would say it was sort of the beginning of the year. And I'd noticed that he was a bit more sort of tetchy, should we say, with, you know, his, he was a bit, say, a bit more withdrawn. But I just thought, you know, it's just life. And to be honest, I think I was probably just kind of living life thinking, oh, it, you know, he'll get over it, whatever the problem is. But it was no, there was no big drama. And then when I look back now, at the time, I didn't pick up on these things at all. But I look back now and I think he was spending a lot more time working in an office. He used to work from home a lot. And then he got an office. And that he didn't get the office for the affair. He did get that way before, but he was spending a lot more time in the office. I didn't really notice any change in him going out because he went out a lot anyway with his friends. So, and with me, but with his friends as well. So I didn't really notice that he was going out more. But obviously he was, because he wasn't meeting his friends. He was meeting with this other woman.
How did you then discover he was having an affair, and who with, and can you give us, you know, paint the scene around what actually was going on?
Yeah, so he went away with his dad and a friend on a fishing trip for a week, and I got a message via Facebook, and it was somebody I didn't know. It was a random man, the man's name, and it said something along the lines of, "I just wanted to let you know that your husband's having an affair. I thought that you should know rather than finding out from somebody else down the pub, like one of your mates." So something along those lines. And genuinely, I got that message and I thought, "Oh, that's spam." Immediately, that's spam. Didn't think anything more of it. Didn't know the person that sent it. Didn't know anything. So it didn't even, literally, it was a second of that spam move. Didn't even think about it. And that evening, my husband called just to say hi because he was away on this trip. And he said, I told him, I said, "Oh, I said, I've got this really weird message on Facebook." Told him. And again, looking back now, immediately silent on the call. And he was like, "You know, do you know who that was from?" And no. But, you know, it's probably just spam. Anyway, moved on. And then the following day, he called me and said, "I'm on my way home." And I said, "Oh," this was sort of 4 or 5 days before he should have been home. And I said, "Oh, okay, why is that?" And I thought, "Oh, he's had a falling out with his dad or something," because that's happened, you know, before. So I thought, "Oh, he's had a falling out with his dad and he's left, or whatever." And he said, "Yeah, I'll be home in about 20 minutes. I was like, "Okay." So funnily enough, I was there with my mum because me and my mum were going out to London the next day. So she was there staying over, and but he'd forgotten about that. So he turned up and he said, "Can we go for a walk? You know, let's go outside." So I was like, "Okay, fine."
Is this normal behaviour from him?
No, but I thought he's had a fight with his dad, is what I thought. And he's stressed about this. He's stressed, he's harassed. This, and because this has happened before, we've had arguments, they haven't spoken and all of these kind of things. So I thought it's one of those. So went out to his car and he told me that he'd had an affair.
That he'd had one or was in one?
That he'd had one. Yeah. So he's, and, you know, he said, that message was probably from the person that I had the affair with, masking herself as someone else. And yeah, I've had an affair. And I said to him, is it anyone I know? And he said, yes. And I was like, right. You know, and I mean, obviously, as you can imagine, when you're told that, you're thinking, Jesus Christ, like, what the hell? And it was with one of the school mums from the school.
So back it up. So he'd sit in the car. He's just told you, and when he opened up that conversation, like, you know, Florence got something to tell you. I'm assuming that is the last thing you thought he was about to trot out.
Definitely the last thing I thought I'd hear. Yeah, absolutely.
And what, when he told you that, what was your immediate reaction, your immediate emotion?
I think my immediate reaction was complete and utter shock and almost disbelief. I thought, he's winding me up here. This can't be it. Really shocked. And, you know, he said, you know, he went on to say, you know, it wasn't anything meaningful, you know, all the things that you kind of think, you know, they want you to hear so that you're, you know, and he was immediately apologetic. He was very upset. I could see he was petrified to tell me. But I think he thought that if he didn't tell me, she was going to, because she'd obviously already tried through this sort of these means, and he didn't want me to find out from her. He wanted to tell me. But he said it had been an affair. So although it was a school mum, he'd actually met her in the pub. So in our sort of local town, he'd been out with a mate, saw her chatting. And they went out to a club, like, the, you know, the friends, and she tagged along. And then he ended up back at her house. And then he was supposed to be staying at his friend's house. And then he just sort of drove home the next day and did his whole weekend on the sofa hungover thing. So I didn't know any different. I didn't know that had happened. And so that happened. He said he felt very conflicted, obviously, when that happened, because whilst he felt awful about doing it, his mind was then going, well, where have I done that? You know, what's led you to do that? And so I think he struggled with it. And he said the affair went on for about, he said it went on for about 3 months. He said it went on for about a month before he then started to try and work out how he was going to get out of it. Because the person that he had the affair with was, she wasn't a really good friend, but she was a friend. She, you know, our kids were in the same year at school. And she was someone that I saw every day, spoke to. And funnily enough, whilst the affair was going on, again, didn't really notice it, she tried to become very close with me. And looking back now, sort of trying to keep me in her pocket, really, I think.
And prior to that, would you say she wasn't that bothered? You know, because I mean, I've got school mum friends as well, you know, some just sort of say hello to every morning. But was this, do you feel like this was a calculated or an active motive to get close to you?
I felt so, yeah. And when I look back, I mean, we were those kind of friends that would just say hello at the school gates. Right. We didn't go out of school or anything like that. And then we had a mutual friend that I was more friendly with, and obviously she was. And then they started to become a bit more of, oh, let's all go out together. We all started going out a lot more. And then there was one particular night where my husband knew I was going out with her, and he said he was absolutely petrified. She was texting him whilst we were out together, and I'm with your wife. And that's where I think he's a guy that buries his head. And I think he was burying his head just hoping she didn't say anything to me. Because at that point, he was trying to sort of stop the affair.
So when, my gosh, wowzers. So school mum, you're part of the same friendship group. You've gone out on a social jolly. At the time you did that, you had absolutely no idea that this woman is actually right in the middle of an active affair with your husband. And she's texting him. What nature was that text? Was it like, oh shit, I'm with your wife? Or was it gloating, I'm with your wife? I'm trying to ascertain what kind of the nature of this relationship was that was going on between them.
Yeah, I think it was very much a, I'm with your wife and maybe I'll tell her what's going on between us. It's kind of very much a manipulating situation for him. He was quite a weak man, I guess, in that situation. And I think at that point, I think she was trying to get him to leave me, and he wasn't and didn't want to and was trying to end the relationship with her. And I think it was at that time as she was trying to think, well, if you're going to not leave, then I'm going to basically fuck up your life.
Right. And what was her situation? Was she married?
No, she was divorced because she'd had an affair and left her husband left her. She was very much looking for another man. And afterwards, I found out actually once it all came out and obviously people knew about it, that she'd tried it on with another school dad before. So I think it was just trying to find someone to love her, really, I guess. I mean, I've never spoken to her about it. I haven't spoken to her about it since the day I found out.
Well, this was going to be my next question. Wow. I mean, the big burning question now is why not? So, I mean, you found out that he'd had this affair. So you're in the car. I mean, also, I'm just bringing this back now. So your mum was in the house, you were saying?
Yeah, my mum was in the house.
So you got your three kids as well at this point, haven't you? So you're in the car. Your husband just told you, kind of, he fell on the sword because he was shat his pants because he knew that this was coming out. Told you he was having an affair. Told you with one of the school mums, somebody you know. How the hell? What happened next? I mean, what was the next conversation? And you say you never discussed it with her. Was there no part of you that wanted to, or did he ask you not to? I mean, what went on there?
So for me, and again, my way of dealing with things is very much shut everyone out. I don't need to speak to anybody. I don't want anybody to talk to me about this. I need to work this situation out. I told him to leave, and he went to his parents. I went inside and obviously immediately broke down to my mum and told her what had happened. And she was completely shocked because she loved my husband. I mean, she thought he was the bee's knees. It's always gone well with him. So I think she was really shocked. Luckily, the time that he came home, the kids were in bed, so they had no idea. So I was really shocked, took a moment, and then I rang my friend and told her and went round there, just said to my mum, I need to go and just kind of think about this. And so I went round to my friends, told her, and we just had a long chat, and she was saying, you know, don't do anything rash, take your time, think about this. So luckily I had the next day off work because I was supposed to be going out with my mum. We ended up not going out. So she looked after the kids for me, took them to school and everything. And I went and I think for me, I was just so embarrassed that I didn't realise that this was going on.
Wow, that's a really interesting emotion. You were embarrassed.
Yeah, I think I was, because I think to the outside world, I think we had this perfect relationship. And I think, you know, we've known each other since we were really young. We've been together very young. And I think I just thought, oh God, I'm so stupid not to have realised that this could happen. I would just never thought for a second that it would happen. And so I think I was embarrassed. I think, just really shocked. So I kind of spoke to his sister. And I just turned up at her house the next day and I said what happened. And her words to me were, I'm surprised it's taken him this long because of his mental health. So she said she didn't know. I believe her. I don't think she did. I just said that, why would you say that? And she said, because, you know, he's suffering with mental health and I'm surprised that it's taken him this long to do that. Not because he doesn't love me, but just because of the way his brain works. So,
just to clarify, just because someone has poor, just people listening as well, just because someone has poor mental health, it doesn't mean that that is a prerequisite to having an affair. So that's an interesting perspective that she was coming from. But I don't want people to be thinking that if someone's suffering poor mental health, that means that they're going to run out and go and have an affair. Probably what she was getting at is that, yes, when you are struggling or when you're looking for escapism or you're looking for a crutch or you're looking for validation elsewhere to cope with feelings of lack of control or whatever might be driving being mentally unwell, you can make choices and in this case, poor choices, in order to fill a void that that perhaps you're experiencing, thinking that that might, it's a bit like self-medicating. And some people do end up down that route by way of a coping mechanism. But do you believe that that was a coping mechanism for him, this affair?
Definitely. So now that sort of where the situation is now, I know that this was all a complete escapism coping mechanism for what was going on in his mind. Yeah.
And what was going on in his mind?
So he, one of the things that's come out of this is he found out that he's got ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
So that was actually a lot of what he was struggling with as a kid, was that he was self-medicating with alcohol because that helped him with how his brain was feeling. Mm-hmm. So he would definitely be just, you know, using all of that kind of the medication and the affair and the alcohol as a coping mechanism to deal with his life.
Was he ever able to articulate to you why he had the affair?
No, not really. I don't think he really knows why. We've both had counselling together and separately. And when I had my counselling, they said they think it was partly something to do with him, his self-loathing. And it was almost like he was punishing himself by doing these kind of things. I don't think he ever really knew why he did it.
This is an advertisement from BetterHelp. I've been working a lot lately, and I was shocked to find out that workplace stress is now one of the top causes of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce experiencing higher than normal levels of stress. Now, whilst a holiday offers a short-term break, prioritising your own well-being is where long-term change can actually begin. I'm a huge advocate for therapy, as many of you will know. And I also know that online therapy can offer a convenient and safe space to talk about the things that really matter to you. And the ratings speak for themselves. BetterHelp has an App Store rating of 4.9 out of 5, and that is based on over 1.7 million reviews. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise. Unwind from work with BetterHelp. Our listeners can get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/affair. That's betterhelp.com/affair.
Have you guys, did you then or have you ever since had a real, hands on table, really honest, open, transparent conversation?
Yeah, we did. So he, so after it all came out, I think I woke up really to, all of a sudden, I think we both had to grow up because we'd been together for a long time. And life had been relatively easy, albeit we'd had these moments, but life had been okay. And I think I realised that life actually isn't okay right now, and we need to deal with that. And so I think I very much woke up to him and what was going on with him, and started to pay him a bit more attention. And I think that's the thing. So when we started talking about it, going to counselling, and it was sort of coming out that basically I don't think that we spoke to each other in the right way in terms of the love languages that we both have. I'm very much a practical, get things done kind of person. He's a very emotional person. He's very emotional. So he's quite, I don't like this word, but he's quite needy. He needs praise. He needs someone to tell him that they love him. And whilst we did that, but I don't think it was enough for him. And I think she clocked that and noticed that, oh, if I give this guy a bit of praise, that he likes that. And I think he liked that from her, that she would just let him talk, I guess, and listen to his you know, how he was feeling, and yeah, just sort of told him what he wanted to hear.
The reason I bring this up is because when infidelity typically happens, there is not always, but sometimes a reason, not an excuse, but a reason, and possibly, yes, is his neurodiversity, his coping strategies possibly could be playing into it. But what is really important is to get to the root of that, particularly for the injured party, such as yourself, to start to understand the motivation behind it. And actually, this is the very point of this podcast, is to try and understand the whys and the motivations around affairs when they happen. In order to come through an affair, we need to do the work. There needs to be full transparency. There needs to be a complete apology, unreservedly. Did you get that full apology from him?
Yes, definitely. He was very remorseful. He said everything that he needed to say. We did have some sort of time apart where he left, and my main thing was, I don't want the kids to find out. So it was very much about, he went on a 2-week holiday with, you know, which he just went away. It was supposed to, you know, we said to the kids, oh, he's just going away on a holiday with work. But I said to him, I don't want you to stay with me because of the kids. You need to decide if I'm who you want. And if I am, and that's, you know, that you want me, then you can come back and we'll, you know, and I want to try and make this work with you. You need to do that as well. But I think we need to have some time apart to decide if that's what we really want. And then we'll go from there. So we did that. And he came back and was like, this needs to work. I love you. Let's make it work. So I did a lot of thinking, obviously went to therapy, and I wanted to stay with him. Because I love him, and he makes me happy. There's this moment that's happened. I don't think it defines us, but I think it woke us up. So I was very much like, yeah, I want to stay with you. I want to make this work, but I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm not going to be the woman that's like, it's okay. I don't care what you've done. This has to be because you want it, because I want it. And it's a very different relationship now.
I mean, go girl. As a therapist, I'm delighted to hear that you clearly had some good therapy as well, you know, good coaching, that communication, you know, was, and the trust and all these really important things that need to happen was being really held up, and you were both being held really accountable for what the ingredients that needed to be put in place now in order for this relationship to make as opposed to break. As part of that, and as part of therapy, it is a very difficult process to have to go through some of the details. But did he share with you exactly what went on with this affair? You know, where did it happen? How often did it happen? And indeed, how you confronted that situation once it had all been put out in the open?
Yeah, so I, after it all came out, I needed to know every single detail, where they met, what they did, what they were eating, what they were drinking. I mean, I needed to know everything. And he was really uncomfortable with that. And I think because he was just so, he was dealing with it as well. And I think he didn't want to talk about it. I mean, obviously, he just went to bury his head. This didn't happen. It's so disgusting. I can't believe I did it. Didn't want to talk about it. And I was like, no. I need to know everything. Where, you know, where did you go? What did you do? Where did you have sex? You know, all of those kind of things. So he's, you know, as far as I'm aware, he's told me everything. And he says he has, and I believe him. He, you know, they had sex a few times. In various different places, they go to hotels or they go to his office, obviously her house they went to, and he took her to a football match for a football team that he supports, which I was quite, that shocked me, because I thought, that's not sex, that's, you know, because, you know, sex is sex, and whilst I don't like that happening, that's the emotional relationship that you're having with somebody else. So I think that I was quite surprised by, and that was what really made me think, why would he need that? What am I not giving him that he needs to go and speak to this other woman about his thoughts, feelings, whatever it is. So yeah, that was quite a shock. And I think the way that I dealt with it was, he told me, obviously I'm having to go to the school and she is there. So, yeah, that was a bit of a nightmare. So, I mean, the school were fantastic. Luckily, I knew the head teacher. She was a friend. And so they allowed me to take my kids in early, and they would make out like the kids had jobs to do. Told the school what happened. Like I say, it was a very small, school, and I knew them, so that they were great. So for the first week, I was dropping them off early, picking them up early, so I didn't have to encounter her in the school playground. And then after that, it was a half term, so we had a week off and we had a week to chat. We went away. We literally just took, I said to him, let's go away, let's chat. We went away and had a really lovely time, but albeit very, lots of chatting and crying and all of that kind of stuff. But when we got back, I said to him, you're coming to the school with me every day to drop off kids. And we walked into the school every day, hand in hand. Actually, in that half-term break, she sent me a email and a text, which I never replied to. I just deleted them and, blocked her from being able to contact me. And they were just, they were like, oh, I'm really sorry you had to find out about what happened. She wasn't. It was just kind of a, I'm really sorry you had to find out about this. I hope you and the kids are okay. And that, it was kind of that.
So she didn't actually apologize for her role in it?
No, not at all. Not at all. So I blocked her from being able to contact me. To me, I think I wanted her to feel irrelevant in this situation. I didn't want her to think this was about her. It was about me and my husband. And I just wanted her away from the situation.
So I get that. So how did that? So you asked your husband to go in, to show a, act of solidarity at the school gates. How was he about that?
Absolutely. Do whatever I need him to do to make this work.
And also, what did other people know? I mean, I know what it's like being part of a school. I mean, gossip goes around like wildfire, even stuff that's not true. So had other people picked up on what was going on? And because you said you'd been out socializing at some point when this was all going on, when you were none the wiser. So what was that like, him coming in with you, seeing her, other people's impressions of it all?
So no one knew initially. So when we started obviously going to the school gates together, no one knew. As far as I'm aware, no one spoke to me about it. Whether she told anybody, I don't know, but no one knew as far as I was concerned. And then I'm not really sure how it came about, but a friend, I can't remember if I spoke to her or she spoke. I think I spoke to her and I said, look, this is, oh, yes, we were going on a hen do for a friend, and she'd become friendly with this woman. And I said to her, look, I just need to know, is she going? Because I can't go if that's the case. And obviously had to tell her what happened. So I think after that, people just started to find out. But no one ever spoke to me about it. I never had a conversation with any of the other people there. I was very much like, this isn't, nobody here needs to know that this is happening. I'm not somebody that wants to have a fight at school gates. That's not happening. And so it was very much, I just didn't talk to her. And that was that. If she was with a group of friends waiting at school gate, I just wouldn't go over. I'd just hang back. And so, yeah, I never spoke to her from the day I found out till now.
Wow. So no encounter at all, not even a side glance, an eye lock.
Didn't even look at her.
Really? And when you were in her presence, did you have any emotion, or had you just, it sounds like you just had got yourself to a place to completely disconnect emotion, almost like out of sight, out of mind. Was that right?
Definitely completely disconnected from her. She didn't exist.
And did anything ever materialize from her, from your husband, about this other, once you'd gone, done the work, you'd done the therapy, you'd made a commitment to each other to make this work, really hard going through couples therapy, but every credit to you for doing that, because it's a tough process. But statistically, once you go through that, actually a lot of relationships can be a lot stronger as a result of that, if you really fully commit to the process. But was it done? Was the whole thing dead in the water from that point?
Yes, we actually, one of the things that I'd said to my husband, that if we were going to make this work, we needed to move. So we need, because it was a small, we lived in a village, it was a small network, everybody knew everybody, and it was only a matter of time before everyone was going to know. And I just thought, I don't want to live my life with that hanging over us. So we moved house, moved the kids' schools, and we didn't move too far away, but we moved far enough away that we weren't on each other's doorsteps.
So you say, you know, about being happy, and bring us up to present day, because you undoubtedly went through, you know, such a difficult time and some big decisions there. And in my world, you did the work, you know, you've been through that process. How long ago was this, and what is your current situation today?
So the affair all sort of took place about 7 years ago now. So we still very much work on our relationship. It's not something that is done. It's not something that we talk about day to day, not at all. But we're both very open, honest in our relationship. We talk about everything. He's been through a massive journey because he found out he had ADHD. He went on ADHD medication. He's dealt with a lot of things in his sort of family life. He still goes to therapy now every week because it just keeps him on track. But from the day that he came back after the sort of 2 weeks we had away, he has been like the perfect husband. He stopped drinking. He's not drunk for 5 years.
Congratulations.
And that's an amazing thing for him. And that really was a turning point, was him not drinking.
And I think what's important here with people perhaps listening, and everyone will form their own opinions and judgments on this, but when we see active change, that is what we're looking for. When people, it is always up to the individual, in this case you, to decide whether or not you want to proceed with a relationship when there has been a betrayal of trust. We all make mistakes, some of us bigger mistakes than others. But what is important is how we come through that, how we own it, the level of accountability. And it sounds as though your husband did take full accountability for what he had done. And you were gracious enough and also introspective enough to ask yourself, well, what actually could I be doing differently, better, as a partner? And what do I need moving forwards? And every credit to the pair of you. It's been so interesting talking to you today, and thank you so much for sharing this. You know, this is such a personal situation, and I know I've learned, I'm always learning, we all are from listening. Final question, would you change anything?
That's a hard one, isn't it? Because I would change the affair. Obviously, I would never want it to happen, but it has brought us to a much better place. So I probably wouldn't change anything. So I think we needed to go through something to wake us both up and grow up and become better people and have a better relationship.
And I credit you so much for that answer. And also, if you don't mind me sharing, what you told me just before we started recording this episode is that Florence actually did discuss with her husband about her coming on to talk about this today. And I think that for me as well is another green flag of how you both had this conversation around, because a lot of my guests don't, and that's also fine too. That's their life and their choice. But the fact that you chose to bring, you wanted to come on and talk about your experience, and you shared it with him, and he gave you really, you know, positive feedback about you doing that. And also you both safeguarded each other and what that might mean for you both, you know, and any challenges that might surface with that. And then you were both happy with that to happen, I think, again, is indicative of the relationship that you now have, which it sounds to me at the beginning was pretty sketchy when it came to communication. But now it sounds as though this communication is bang on. And I give you every credit to that. And I really hope that you guys continue and have a really happy and fulfilling future together.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Florence. Thank you for listening to the Affair podcast. If you've been affected by any of the issues raised in today's episode, please see the show notes for organisations who can offer support and advice. Don't forget to subscribe so you are the first to know when a brand new episode drops. But until then, I'm Anna Williamson, and this has been The Affair. This podcast is a Curve Sounds production.